The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No manna, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep trying, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot.
Welcome to episode 395 of Fourth and Drawn. I'm Bill Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Dan Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas. And we are talking...
We can talk Sixers tonight if you want.
The 10-4 10-4 Eagles episode 395 a recap, but we're also gonna go into some Giants stuff. But just first and foremost, this Philadelphia Eagles team, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get with this team, because at the end of the day, three wins does not feel good. I mean, we followed this team from Foxborough.
You mean three losses
to Seattle, and yeah. Just to see this offense be offensive week in and week out. I don't know really what the identity of this offensive unit is anymore. We talk about the defense having issues and them having to change the defensive coordinator abruptly during the week. I think you have to look at what they're doing offensively. Between Sirianni and with Brian Johnson, and then first and foremost, Jalen Hurts. I'm going to be honest. It could have been the Jalen flu game, but I think it was the Jalen snooze game, because I think he fell asleep at the wheel at times of this game, and it has nothing to do with the sickness in terms of executing. Because this is week in and week out, and we're seeing him not hit the check down. We're seeing him make bad decisions. He's got to get right. He has to get right in order for the ship to get right. So the Eagle fans that took days off, changed vacation days, changed your flights, spent thousands of dollars to be there to support your team and to show up, I appreciate you guys wholeheartedly, because at the end of the day, the fans show up. They were out there loud and proud, and they were rooting their team on. So hat tip to you, fans out there.
What the hell was you at, Ev? We was I know you were coming. It was you know what? It was just like the trip in Dallas. We had a great time all the way up into the game. Yeah. But this time the game, we had a good time throughout the game, but I don't know. I wanted to pose this to Ev, because I know Gail, you were out there. So after that first drive, that drive is like, oh, okay, you finally feel like Brian Johnson's got it.
Yep.
Now my question is this, because the thing that I feel like we as fans should be pissed off about is he watched Shane Steichen orchestrate this to perfection. Now sometimes when you get in charge, you want to put your own fingerprints on something. But if you see it's not working, why not go back to where we're going? My question for you is, at the end of the game, you heard Jalen, who recanted it today. Like, some people got to be held accountable. Do you think that because he's so close to Brian Johnson, he's not saying shit?
When I originally heard that Jalen Hurts quote, Brian Johnson wasn't the one that jumped off the page to me.
Who jumped off you?
I was thinking it was more so personnel. I was thinking it was – I think he was calling out players more so than coaches. Okay. Because, I mean, the players were the ones that fell asleep out on the field out there. Defense, you know, the wide receivers. It's the entire thing has just been a mess right now, man. And the way that game obviously closed out, I mean
– Oh, God.
Dude.
Did you see
it sucked the life out of me, man. Like,
did you? Now, hold on. Now, I don't know if you paid attention. He just heard me talking to Irv about this. The last drive, the first play of the Seahawks last drive, the first pass was tipped and almost picked. Then the next pass was almost picked.
Yep.
Then he just started going at Bradbury. No matter who was on him, the whole rest of the drive. I was like, they are picking on him.
They were picking Bradbury apart.
Yeah.
Did
you feel like that?
Yeah, I felt absolutely like that. I feel like we have been exposed these past 3 weeks. I think that, you know, I kind of sat there and laughed after the Nick Bosa thing, talking about how, you know, we essentially put the playbook out on Jalen Hurts. And to be honest with you, the past 3 weeks, that's exactly what it feels like. Jalen Hurts looks lost out there.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is when he said that, I didn't think nothing of it because he didn't touch nobody in the game. But when you look at did you see when McCaffrey was not even
when McCaffrey was calling out the plays?
That's how predictable we've come. But you heard AJ Brown say it earlier this season that we've become too predictable. And is it me? Or I want to pose this to both of you guys. Like it was a few plays where you could see that if you did any scouting, you know that last week that the Seahawks got beat like about eight different plays for deep plays, and it wasn't going to happen. Hold on. Alexa, turn off music. What the hell is she doing? So you saw that they was deep. Why would we run it underneath and take what they give us?
I mean, that's exactly what I've been asking for weeks now. I mean, what I've been talking about is how we don't have a middle of the field game. We have either bullshit tunnel screens, which thankfully we didn't do any of in this previous game, but the deep shots, man. Like, I don't know why we are just trying to. I love the deep ball, but it's a time and place type of thing. It's a time and place type of thing. You need to be able to set up the deep ball.
Thank you. Execute it. That's what everybody keeps thinking. I'm talking about run the ball 50 times. No, if you run the
slants.
Ball,
how many times do I got to beg for slants, man? Yeah. I don't get it.
The funniest thing, Ev, though, is when you watch the game, if you run the ball and start imposing your will, guess what's going to creep up? Those safeties are going to come up.
Exactly. Into the box, and then all of a sudden you go over top of
them.
Yes,
exactly. Yes. But right now they are playing us for the deep ball. And it's like
Well, Jalen Hurts is throwing punts up there, man. Yeah. I don't blame them. All you got to do is get back
17
deep.
Turnovers.
And hold on. I also want to say, too, that the one interception to Quez Watkins.
Oh, yeah, man.
Quez gets partial blame for that one, man. You got to fight for the ball.
Yeah.
You are only throwing the ball so many times. You know, you have to take it. You have to take advantage of the opportunities that you're given. And the fact that you're sitting here and not even fighting for the ball, man, it's
Did you see
blame on it too? But Jesus Christ!
Did you see Jalen's face after he threw the ball to him and he got intercepted? It's like, I ain't never throwing the ball to you again. On his face.
The thing is, nothing. I've been saying it for weeks. Nothing good happens when we throw it to Quez's way. You look at all the different opportunities. I always talk about the consistency at the catch point. We're not seeing it there. The last time, I mean, he is essentially our guy that stretches the field. The last time he's caught one to stretch the field was against Washington in 2022, and in that play he actually caught the ball but then fumbled it. So if you're going back to this is, we go to the offseason when we talked about wide receiver 3 and maybe a JSN or like potentially guys that could actually
JSN, the guy that killed us.
What are you doing with Quez? Because he's not at Oz, makes more plays in the amount of targets that he gets. I mean, look at, I have this shout out to StatMuse with this thing, but these are the targets.
Okay.
We got AJ Brown. We know where he's going with AJ Brown.
Yep.
But like, you know, after Dallas Goedert, or even, you know, he's got to start spreading the rock, dude. He's got to start spreading the rock.
We was just talking about this, about spreading the rock around. It was a bad analogy because he used the game of 3-0. Irv used a game that went 3-0. I was like, yeah, they may have spread the ball around too much and they didn't score.
think about it like a basketball team, though. I mean, there's only five players on the court for each team at a given time. And a lot of teams, they have, you know, if you're a good team, you got a big three and you got three guys that you can, you know, are your essential scorers of the entire team. But then you still have those secondary guys and those fourth and fifth guys that are on the court. They mean a lot because you have to give them some points every now and then just to get pressure off of the stars. And that's exactly what I feel like is happening with this wide receiver core, is that we are just eye fucking AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. And there is no threat of a third wide receiver at all.
My thing is if you're a defensive coordinator, at the end of the day, you know that you only have to really defend the certain parts of the field, because you know by the fourth and third, fifth option, he's not getting there. It's usually 1, 2, and 3 if he's lucky.
That goes along with the play calling and the route tree and the non-creativeness in the roster we're running. A lot of times, it's been a couple of times where he hasn't even been looking for the underneath route, and it's just like it was like on the second interception, Gainwell was like literally right there. It should have been in it. They talked to him for the first 15 seconds, up until 15 seconds is left on the clock. All we need is a few yards. Get the 12 yards. Don't go deep. I was like, but sometimes that's why I said the part about putting your own stamp on it, because he wants to be the tallest.
Playing hero ball.
Thank you. But it's also his you can see the coordinator is trying to put his fingerprints on this offense, because Shane Steichen was working magic last year, and it was well balanced. And people often hear me say, "You run to pass the ball," and I was like, "What?" And so I have to explain, when I say run to pass the ball, you don't want a guy my size screaming up the field because you passing the ball early in the game, because I've gained confidence, and I don't give a fuck if you running now. Because we've got to hit it, and I'm running up the field. You have to do like what we did in that first drive. That has to be like all game long. Yeah. It's like, but we don't. It seems like if we thought, and so one of the people that was watching the other show was like, if we throw another fucking wide receiver screen in the boundary on the short side of the field again, are you kidding me? Not only that, you almost got Dallas Goedert killed on the tight end screen because you had Since Slim Reaper blocking for him.
Who came on?
So I like, if you look at the Colts this year too, Shane Steichen is still like, he's making it happen with Gardner Minshew right now.
Exactly.
Man. Like, he's winning with Gardner Minshew. So like, you look at that was obviously the offensive brain of last year that was majorly contributing. We knew that Shane Steichen had taken over the play calling role from Nick Sirianni. Yeah. And now we've kind of just handed it over to Brian Johnson, a guy that has zero experience in doing any of that shit.
I
just think that, like, I was having this thought, and they were talking about it on the radio today, just about how Nick Sirianni is probably a worse play caller than Shane Steichen. However, he's probably a better play caller than Brian Johnson.
Yes, because he's done it, and Brian Johnson hasn't done it. And so somebody just said something in the comments. Like, it was one of the guys. He was talking about the offense becoming too stagnant. A lot of times when we look at our offense, it's like that first drive, it had a purpose. They had a purpose downfield. They were going, and then all of a sudden, it's just like you forgot how to call plays.
It's crazy, what
Hollywood said about when at a certain point in the game, they know that you only really practice those first 15, and now you have to call plays. You have to go to your bread and butter, but you don't have bread and butter because you chose to try to go off on your own, and your bread and butter has been getting slaughtered.
It's reeking of thinking you're the smartest guy in the room, to be honest.
Exactly.
But even the dink and dunk is not – it just is – like, when you say dink and dunk, it sounds cute and whatever, but the dink and dunk, especially when you have guys –
making it work.
No, but when you have guys like Julio Jones that could turn around and catch a curl, which he did in the game, you go down to the – you get down by in the red zone, right? he's scoring distance, and then we go, it's a third and eight, and then we go a run. But I'm like, you got Julio, you got Dallas right here.
Let's go somewhere else. It's like we get to the red zone to get cute. Oh, it's like okay. So that last drive we had before we gave them the ball back, we had some good runs. But then all of a sudden, you try to do a cute run. I was like, just keep. They were not stopping the one run play from the front side to the good side to the offensive left. They were not stopping that. No way whatsoever. But then you try to go back to a Potter side, and you got the big homie over there, Leonard. He's making sport of him. He was making sport of him the entire day, and so why would you run over there? Like keep it going. And that's what I mean. It's like the one thing that I don't see this offensive coordinator doing is going back to the successful plays. It's like because a good offensive coordinator, they're gonna run it until you stop it. And if you don't stop it, you're gonna get tired of it. And then not only that, they will motion. We don't do enough motion and stuff. They will motion and shift and stuff to get back into that same play, so to make you think that we're gonna run something else and run it up your ass again. We do
what's going to be a giant thorn in my ass next
year? What is that? What's that?
That's when Rashad Penny's on another team and he's doing
Mother,
well.
Son of an
hey, idiot. He's got one target by Jalen. But anyway, I really have to put the most blame on Coach Sirianni. My thing is, again, you could blame Brian Johnson, but I have to feel like this is Sirianni's plan.
It was a full team effort. Yeah.
But I'm gonna blame Sirianni because he's the head coach. He's the guy whose messaging has become a little stale in the locker room. If I'm being honest, because at the end of the day, I need tougher coaching on Jalen. I need them to be very direct with his fundamentals and whatnot. I need you also to be direct with your team and social media usage. But then on top of that, I ran into a beat writer in the airport. I'm not gonna say his name, but he gave me a little tip that he during the Chiefs game in the tunnel, the first thing after winning the game, he goes up to another beat writer and he says, "Hey, you said that the Chiefs had a better head coach and quarterback. How you like?" Basically, like, I read your tweets, and it's in my head. I need you to be focused, Sirianni. I don't need you to care
Well, I don't need you to care about that.
You're saying Nick Sirianni said that to him?
Nick Sirianni.
And I'm happy he said it to him because motherfuckers be coming, because I guarantee you that beat writer is going to come and be bending and grinning in his motherfucking face. And it's like, I don't give a fuck. You can do all that you want to. I don't give a damn. I was like, but will you say some shit behind my back? And then you have to come, because that beat writer probably had to come and get a report from him. The one thing, and I've never told you guys this, the one thing that I didn't look at a lot of the stuff that was written, but when somebody was being negative towards me, I was always the one who threw the media out of locker room. I always said, it ain't time. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here.
but hold on.
It's like when you bumping your gums about something that you've never done before, and it starts to turn personal, but you still have to come to me for your story. Think about that. And this is the one that cracked me up the most. Chris Collinsworth was talking shit about T.O. on one of his broadcasts. And remember when he's doing the Inside NFL on HBO and shit? He was talking shit about T.O. And then, that year we was winning, and Inside NFL, they came to our, and guess who? He tried to shake T.O.'s hand. What do you think happened?
Got smacked away.
Yeah, T.O. was like, get out of here. Get out of here. I was like, the thing is, it's the difference between critiquing and criticism versus getting personal.
Well, when I'm talking about, ESP puts out this tweet every week. This is a thing where he puts this, like, which one, a check mark, who thinks, come on, that you don't need to be responding to that. I for one think Sirianni's got to get his shit together. Because
the fact that Sirianni's responded to this is just that's everything you need to know, man. He's the head of everything, man. It all trickles down from him.
But the point that I love about this is the competitive nature. I did go over there.
That's fine.
I did go over there this weekend. I think the next move, you can't have two new offenses. You can't have an offense coordinator, defense coordinator that's a rookie. You need some stability there, or somebody who's done it before. And I think pretty soon they're going to have to take Brian Johnson is. I think pretty soon they're going to have to take it away from him, or they're going to have to. I don't know. I don't. And you know, humor me for a second. Why don't they allow Stoutland to call a play?
I mean, he is the run game coordinator. That's exactly what we're lacking right now.
You got to try something different, man.
And the thing to me, I think that we have a team that could come out and kick your ass physically. Mm-hmm. But we continue to come out and try to be cute and purdy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're trying to win by finesse when we have the strength to win by power and just run over you.
We got Hall of Famers on this offensive line who are, you know, just would love to punish somebody.
I was saying hey to my daughter.
I feel like, you know, dialing up Swift would be amazing. Give me some more pony.
Hollywood, I know what you're going to say. Go ahead and say it.
I don't know if you were, but I wanted to go back to us comparing us to the 49ers because we were talking about Brock Purdy and you know this guy's making it work with Dinkin and Duncan, right? I'm not sure if you guys saw the stat. He is 32nd in the league in pass attempts and he's second in yards, and that screams yak. He's got yak machines on that team. CMC, Debo, obviously, but like let's compare our team here, man. Like, we've got two really good wide receivers. We've got DeAndre Swift. We've got Dallas Goedert.
Yes.
These are guys that can get yak yards. Why are we trying to get the ball 40 yards down the field? Let them get the ball securely in their hands and have them run it upfield. Jesus.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, but it's like I thought you were going to Rashard Penny. I was like, it's a commodity that we haven't used. They say Swift is tired. You put Gainwell in there. It's like we really have a four-headed monster. We want to truly look at it. If we give each guy 10 carries and then play action pass throw the play action pass in there, put 25 to 30 throws. I feel like and the other part too is did you just see what the Buffalo Bills did to the Cowboys? He threw 15 passes.
Yep.
And you only pass when you have to. If you're ahead, why would you put your quarterback in jeopardy like that?
Why are you not killing the clock?
You run the ball down their throat. Yeah. Nothing is nothing more demoralizing defensively than not being able to stop the run.
Yep. And then they were doing that with Kenny Walker at the end of it.
Exactly. The one thing that I think that we have to get Brian Johnson out of calling plays. And I think Jalen is not going to say anything because he's like family. So,
and we're in the topic right now of the Eagles simply getting too cute too. And I got some bad news for you guys too. I think they're going to get cute this weekend and just try and Boston Scott kills the Giants. Got to make sure Boston Scott gets his touchdown. Fucking go out there and kill them.
Yeah,
my thing with the Giants is they're the worst run defense. I mean, the worst against the run, and then
which means we're gonna pass 50 times.
We're gonna pass 50 times. Just play to your strengths, and that's where we match up. Let's take advantage.
Bob, he's been pushing this for a minute.
You don't do that. Who the fuck are you gonna go get? You know what? So in any event, I think what's gonna transpire is it's gonna be an ugly victory. But mainly because I feel like the Giants, they're going to come out. They're going to fight. But, you saw me and Irv talking about – so I was talking to Willie T. William Thomas. We did this one show. We were talking about, you know, when your team is losing and you don't really have anything to play for but your check, it's like that car is packed, ready to go back to your hometown. And I know a lot of the Giants – their car is packed because they live in they live in New York / Jersey. Their car is packed, ready to go to warmer climates. So all you have to do is beat it out of them. And the first, because they're gonna come out, they're gonna come out the they're gonna come out the, those their first series or so, and try to handle business. But I feel like this is one of those games. It's a slump buster, and it should be. It's like, and nobody, and I said this let me quit saying that. Nobody's paying attention to a San Francisco lost 3 in a row. Dallas lost 3 in a row. And what did Dallas do? Dallas built up their confidence against lesser competition. So yeah. It's kind of like this. You build continuity and confidence through having success against we call it like as fans and analysts, we call it lesser competition. But the truth is it's about that much difference between winning and losing on a Sunday in the NFL, because a lot of people, there's a lot of resistance. Yeah. All the teams are good now. And it's
Before we move on to the Giants. I just wanted to talk about some of your biggest positives. I know it's tough. It's very tough to bring some positives out of a loss, but what are some of your biggest positives from the Eagles loss versus the Seahawks? I'll start with my first. I'm going to go Ringo actually gave us some quality snaps.
I really liked when the game ended, personally.
Damn it, Love.
I guess I'll say the continued dominance of Jalen Carter. I mean, that's something that's been going on all year long. Mm-hmm. But that is a bright spot for the future. And I think that we can all agree that obviously, the Eagles, they knocked it out of the park with their first pick overall this year. And Chase Rivers actually brings up another one, too. Sidney Brown.
Yeah.
He played decent as well. The rookie DBs, they played well.
My positive was actually the rookie, like you said, and put Eli Ricks in there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were throwing against those guys. They were over five with about three or four PBUs, like them actually knocking the ball away. That's promising, especially with a young core of DBs. Other positive too is just that the fact that we came out. The reason why everybody is pissed is because they showed it to us. They showed us they could do it. And the reason we're pissed is because all you have to do is continue to do it. It's like it's not rocket science. Like Ev said, you want to be the smartest guy. You want to be the smartest guy in the room. And it's like, and that's what I think that that one pass play at the end of the game, they were going for the jugular vein.
Yep.
And it's like, because we had two, when he threw that pass, we still had two timeouts. And if you catch that pass right there, you got a couple of shots at the end zone, and you're still in prime position to get a field goal to tie it up.
Except we beheaded ourselves.
Yes, we beheaded that. If you study long, you study wrong. And the one thing that he didn't pay attention to, I feel like as an offensive coordinator, is the fact that the previous week, San Francisco beat them on 8 deep passes. 8. The dude who gave up four of those passes, he didn't even start. He didn't even play until damn near the fourth quarter.
I think the thing that bothered me the most with that that last interception by Jalen Hurts is that it's the situational awareness, and maybe maybe Brian Johnson is the one that drew up, hey, we're going deep to AJ on this one. Maybe Jalen Hurts decided that on his own fruition. I don't know, but there was an open player out in the flat, and that
Gainwell.
It's in his damn name, Gainwell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he could have got us in the field goal range, dude. It's been Jake the Make all year. What have I been saying that the guy that has been the unsung hero of the season has been Jake Elliott. Give me his range and let him hit it, man. Then you get us to overtime, and I think we could win that game. But like Jesus, the fact that he is like the situational awareness where he's going deep on that play, it made no sense whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And you're right, Ev, because when I was sitting there, I was like, "What the fuck did I just watch?"
Yeah,
I was like, because it's like I was watching him, and I was like,
and it's not like he's been accurate with the deep ball recently either. Like, that's a risky throw.
It is a risky throw, but he's been dropping it in the bucket too. But the one thing that I was really pissed at though was watching that drive by Drew Locke. Now the sun shines on that. Yeah, the sun shines on the dog's ass every once in a while. And pause if you know. So, when him going through at this and this is it's like the part that pissed me off is that we knew once that second pass came to whoever Bradberry was covering, we didn't take it upon ourselves to give Bradberry help over the top.
That shit was terrible. I saw that play where Sidney Brown, he's looking at the running back in the flats, but I'm like, dog.
Yeah, no. Deep, yes. That's the difference between like the young people and the people, the seasoned vets. Because like I don't give a fuck about the guy in the flats because I can come up and make that play. But the guy that's behind me
he's gone.
I'm a safety.
It's like 24 seconds left though.
Yeah. That was what'd you say, Hollywood? Situational awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean the situational football has been lacking. Even just you think about how many times the offense had an opportunity to close the game out, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw Swift go down. I'm like, oh, he playing smart football. Mm-hmm. The Seattle crowd thought the game was over then.
Yeah. I thought it was too. But then he came back with that cute-ass play trying to run it. I don't give a fuck. The best way to describe it is we know who you are on our team. If you got the baddest man in the land, the guy Leonard for the Seahawks, if he's over you, he's over you because you're the pigeon. I don't give a fuck what you, I'm not running over there. Every time we ran to the left away from landing the pigeon a Potter, we got yards. Now why the fuck are we running back over there on the play? We getting cute. Cut that shit out. Come on, man. Just mash. And I'm not talking about the potatoes.
Yeah, my other biggest negative from the Eagles loss, I said it earlier in the show. I just actually when you go back and watch the All-22 and just watch Jalen, that's where I get like I just because it's like it's really fundamental stuff. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about like his footwork and he's getting sloppy. But again, I know if you're sick, you're sick, but if you were good enough to get on the field, then I'm expecting some of the standard. Some of the standard. So that was a tough one. But before we move on, I want to give a shout out to Northwest Bird Gang. They represented out there with Philly Sports Trips. And it was great to see, Northwest Eagle fans. Anthony's actually in the comments today, but just to see their team up close and personal in their home city.
I like them.
Shout out to Liz as well. They've done a great job.
Liz is my girl.
Yeah, they had a great time. I had a great time with them. They all know how to party.
I know. It was kind of funny. It was I was laughing at my esteemed colleague Gil because he was talking about one of the young men who talk loudly, and I had to let him know it's due to a
hearing impairment.
Saying some of my ear got blasted. But
I was cracking up because he didn't. So, excuse me, we went to the what was the name of the Queen Beer Hall? We went to the Queen Beer Hall, and I knew it there when I first met the kid. I was laughing. He's like, "Yeah, I've been an Eagles fan since 2000. And I was like, "Oh, God." I was like, "He's speaking loud." And then I looked at him, I was like, "Oh, okay, he was a little autistic." And so. And it wasn't because of that. It was just I taught and coach special needs people, and with Eagles Fight Autism, I've encountered a lot. And normally, when they want to make sure that you hear what he had to say, and so every time he spoke to you, no matter if you were this close or over there, it was extremely loud. But no, it was cool as hell, and. I just love the whole vibe of the place. The one place, Last Call, shout out to Brian who the owner, he took care of us out there. And that's what I'm saying. Ev, you missed the Stone Cold Groove, my brother.
It looked like a fun time. I mean, from the pictures Gales was sending and everything. We just got to convince my bosses I need more PTO. I think that's
you say the word, baby, and I'll come down there. And we can go to HR together. Like, I'll tell them the joke that you told the young lady that got us in HR. I'm just saying.
My thing is, it was crazy because the week was so the 3 days leading up to the game were great. You know, like I got to see all Northwest that I wanted to see. Got to see Bruce Lee, his grade, pay respects to him.
He's Bruce Leroy?
One of my inspirations. So it was cool.
It was cool
to see him in person, see his grave in person. Obviously, he passed away in the 73, so never got to, I wish I could have.
So you went to a graveyard?
Oh yeah! Gotta pay respects.
You see any of my grunge people in the graveyard? They're all hanging out there.
I was gonna go to
Kurt Cobain.
You know,
this just took a turn for the worse.
You know, but why? Here's some positive.
I mean,
stuff.
Talking about death is more positive than talking about this Eagles team right now.
Well, here's some positive. We got to see the Goonies house. The Goonies house was pretty awesome. Yeah, if you're a Goonie fan,
shuffle out front.
I did the truffle shuffle. Went down to Cannon Beach. Was pretty awesome. If you guys haven't seen the Goonies, go see the Goonies. It's,
if you haven't seen the Goonies, you're fucking.
I mean, that was the positive there. That is the positive. But other than that, Seattle was pretty dope. I like the city.
How was the weather? I know they're known for their rain out there. Did you catch a lot of it?
Only 2 days. I got some rain. Okay. The game, and the day after.
Speaking of weather forecast for this upcoming game, it's looking like we're finally going to have a clear day. I feel like every single game has been a rainy game this year. Am I wrong about that? And do you think that's a factor in anything? The fact that we've been playing in slop every single week.
I'm tired of this rain, man. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of tailgating in it.
I just work here. You know what? I did see. I don't know. It's one of those things to where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. We have to come out these next three games. We have to build that confidence back up. And I don't know if they're going to make a change offensive coordinator wise, but they made a change for the. I feel like this is like sometimes when you get somebody that has never called plays before, you give them an opportunity. If they don't have early success, you kind of need to pull the reins back and let them watch somebody who's experienced at it. And I thought that they should have did that early on with Desai and let him watch Matt Patricia like orchestrate and create a game plan. I'm real interested to see what he creates this coming up.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do you say? I've officially what?
No, Dwayne's out here. Gail's brother saying that he's got mono.
He's got oh god. That's mean. That's mean, man.
did you guys see Jalen's presser today?
I heard about
today
it.
I did not see.
I heard about it. What did he say?
Oh, I mean, the beginning. He was trying. It's trying to like cover his tracks for what he was saying. After the game, I thought that was Jalen's mind speaking freely, and I actually like that because at the end of the day, I don't think we've been playing committed ball for the last couple of weeks.
No, I think he's dead right, but it's a matter of like just optics. I think that like what Jalen said is correct, and I'm glad he said it.
Oh, Prime!
I think that he needs to call. I think he needs to say that in the privacy of the locker room and call out guys. Like, not you don't got to call him out. Like, hey, AJ, you're not doing your part, but like, say what you said in the privacy of the locker room. The optics of it were not good, in my opinion.
Primo, what's happening? Just happening, man. So, Primo, you just getting with us and stuff. You was you out there with us? You went out there in Seattle, were you?
You weren't that high, were you?
Man, were you?
You got well. Whatever do you mean?
Who is that guy I was hanging out with then?
But nah. He told me he was Prime. He had a mask on and everything. Pause. So Prime. I pose this question to them: what do you think about the offensive play calling after the first drive?
It was well. Actually, I'm going to say what happened to the play calling after the second drive, because we went two back to back. Drives with 15 plus plays.
Also, the caveat is on that second drive. Do you think we got too cute when we got in the red zone?
Yes, we did. I felt like, you know, I mean, it was just uncalled for. There was just some uncalled for plays that on that drive right there that to go ahead and score. I just think that we should have just stayed aggressive the way we were, you know, I mean, going the first two drives. They should have just kept that momentum, and you know we definitely would have been up another touchdown right there. I mean, the whole offside,
false start.
I'm sorry, false start.
Just he did false start. He can't move the ball up a whole half a yard. When I played center in high school. And I used to do the same thing. I would get too far over the ball, but I would pull it up here. It's like so, and that's just like a habit. But they're trying to get away from that because they say that you're gaining the advantage of moving the ball.
Yeah, Kelsey's been actually warned in the past. He said they haven't really come after him as of late.
They came after him. They came after him there. And I didn't ask all of you guys this. What do you guys think on 4th and 2 of the pass interference on Bradberry?
I thought it was ticky tack. I went back and watched it like twice. I mean, he had his hand slightly on his waist, but I felt like he was going for the ball as well. So
it was a bad call at the bad time, man. Like, it was just like you guys, Gail, you were being there at the game. It definitely, you know, you're not going to see what we saw. And normally me and you are together at these games, and you being there and me watching it on TV, I'm going to tell you right now, and I was trying to keep you updated on everything. It was bad. Like that false start on Kelsey, you could clearly see it.
Yeah.
The tush push, I realized there was a text that I was getting ready to send you, and I never sent it. But, yo, the tush push on TV is wild. Seeing how low Kelsey gets.
But exactly. Say it again, Brian. But driving
the two guards back, Kelsey is God when it comes to that play, bro.
So Prime, this is so everybody's like trying to figure out how to stop it, and I have to tell everybody that most of the defensive tackles nowadays don't have the testicle fortitude to play goal line defense or short yardage, because they, if you look at that play, he was the lowest man there. And he pushed both of those. So it don't matter what you do. If you the high, if you get high, you just take that fantastic voyage. Now another part of that question. So the other part of the question after the pass interference was, and I didn't pose this to you guys either. The Quez Watkins play when they clearly showed the dude grabbing Quez Watkins. Now everybody said he grabbed jersey. He grabbed the inside of the fucking pad and pulled that kid. Mm-hmm. And even though I was like, what the fuck is he doing in the game? It's not the time to let everybody play. Even though I was thinking that, the fact that they didn't make that call, but they called the other one on 4th and 2 for the other guy. What are you guys' feelings on that?
It was a lopsided call. I mean, like you said, you're not gonna call that, but you're gonna call something as as light as what Bradberry did to
exactly
Metcalf, that's crucial. Again, another play seeing on TV. Yes, he had his whole pad. When they were running that thing back in slow-mo, you see when Love grabbed him, mm-hmm. it took his momentum of going up for the right down. Like he literally brought his top half of his body down, and they didn't call that. It was a missed call. It was a crucial missed call. But, I mean, look, we're not San Fran fans. We're not Cowboy fans. We're not Giants fans. We're not going to come up with excuses.
Yeah, but I got something for you. As in regards to coaching, in regards to defensive coordinators, we talk about Julian Love having two interceptions that game. Julian Love was a backup for a healthy scratch in Jamal Adams.
Yeah,
that's recognizing your player's talent, isn't it?
But you know why that Jamal Adams was a healthy scratch?
Why's that?
You remember last week when I was telling you about last week? Jamal Adams was a healthy scratch, and the Wooden kid. He didn't play until the third or the fourth quarter. Yeah, Wooler. Yeah,
he played earlier in the first.
None. Game. Well, no, he's played. I'm not talking about special teams. He played only special. Remember, I was watching the game on TV. Yeah, on special teams, and it was mainly because they gave up eight plays to San Francisco, eight deep plays to San Francisco, and they didn't know if it was suspension or part of a punishment. I didn't either. But that's what ended up happening. That's why Jamal Adams was a healthy scratch.
Well, I think that's the thing. You got to switch stuff up. I think you can't go week in and week out and do the same shit every single week and then expect differences. And if you did that with the defense, now let's do it with the offense. Switch it up because we need a new look.
We talked about Tank. You brought up in the offseason about how coaches will. Like stick with their guys if they had drafted them over someone or whatever. Do you think that because we signed Bradberry this offseason and looking at how Keely Ringo played in this last game, do you think that the reason that we haven't seen Keely is because we just signed Bradberry, even though Keely potentially has more, could probably give more for us in these games?
Yeah.
That may be the cause, but mm-hmm. it's stupid. It's a stupid reason.
But I know it's a stupid reason, Prime. But trust me, that's what happens. I don't know if y'all watched me and Irvin, when we had. I don't know if you guys remember when we had Bobby Hoyer as a QB. Mm-hmm. So it was one game in particular. Bobby Hoyer was shell shocked, and Irvin came and Irvin told me this personally. He said I came to Ray. It's like, Ray, you got to get him out of there because he's not right. You know, he's like, I can't take him out. It's like they won't let me. Mm-hmm. So right now, the reason I don't know why we keep seeing Quez because they don't want to be wrong. not only that, it's like the number 13 and Julio Jones. I feel like they're not. We have
an aside arsenal. From that Jones touchdown that first game he had, he's been non-existent.
Exactly, but not only that though, Rashard Penny. It's like we should be hitting people in the face and the mouth, kicking ass and taking names. He is not using the full arsenal. It's like Boston Scott the way he hits the hole, Gangwell the way he hits the. It's like, dude, and it's like we are not.
And not to mention, if you were going to use Penny in any game, he used to literally practice against this team.
Thank you.
Like this was the game to use him.
It's absurd just to think about the lack of because I mean you see, say switch it up, use different players, give a little Boston Scott. Give me a mix. Can we get the pony looks? Can we be creative? It's just funny because you watch that first drive and you're like, oh, this is gonna be nice.
Yeah, exactly how I felt.
Thank you.
I'm here watching the game with the wife, and that was exactly my attitude. Like, yo, okay, we made a change earlier today that was announced. I feel rejuvenated. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's go, let's do this. Yeah, first drive, happy. Defense, three and out. Excited.
Exactly.
Next drive, happy. Okay, we only scored three. You know what I mean? Okay, we're not gonna win. You know, we're not gonna really do much by scoring field goals. But all right, let's regroup. Okay. Next drive, let's come back, and then it just died.
and somebody said in the comments over here, We don't disguise anything. And to me, that last drive, the last offensive, before the last offensive drive, we had the ball and before we gave the ball back to him. And Prime, I don't know if he was on here when I, why are we running to a Potter side and they keep lining the dude Leonard up over him because he was whooping him like cornbread batter.
Leonard was killing us, man.
But do you know why? Because he kept lining up over a Potter.
Hey,
it was god awful. I was like, oh god, yeah. It was almost like I was watching a horror flick, like over and over and over and over again. And because he was destroying him, it got to the point where they had to make Lane kind of help him. Like it's a thing that the offensive tackles do; they kind of put their hand down to make the defensive tackle think that they double teaming him to slow us down. And he was doing that, but it's like on the run play, you can't do that because you got a defensive end that you're chasing. The offensive tackle had a defensive end they're chasing. And on the play before we had to punt, they tried to run over there. What the fuck for? I don't know. Go ahead.
But Dickerson will likely be out. Oh, yeah. He had the surgery on his hand.
You doing an Evan Hearn medical minute after I saved the graphic?
He
looks like he's made for the
team. Well, I'm just trying to speak on the podcast. If I could just say something.
Wow.
All right, real quick. Can I speak?
Is that trying to get? I'm trying to get prime.
I'm just trying to add value right now because I said Dickerson is not going to be playing this week, and Cam Jurgens is out this week.
Damn. So when you say add value, you saying that me and Hollywood and
I'm trying to add value to what topic you just talked about, the offensive lineman, right?
Prime, Hollywood, how y'all feel about
I'm hurt right now.
I feel in some type of way, you know. I'm caught up in caught up in the rapture right now, you know.
Nah, it's
I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm just gonna
nah, this
just a bit it, outside.
It's been an ugly 3 weeks, man. I think that the Eagles are making us go at each other's throats.
You know, the funny thing is, Hollywood is like, and I told you this earlier, it's like we going at each other right now, and we pissed off at our birds. But the other teams who they claimed at the top, they already had this. The 49ers, they lost three in a row. They got the Cowboys. They lost three in a row, and that, you know. And the funny thing about the Cowboys, everybody got confidence back off of building off of Scrubs. So I'm hoping that we can do the same thing.
Well, I'm hoping Tommy Cutlett's coming to town now.
Yeah. Did you see him going to the game that the first game he won?
No.
He looked like Danny Terrio from us.
Agent is just ridiculous looking. His agent looks like the Riddler.
It's going to be interesting. But the one thing that I don't think we're using our personnel properly offensively. And defensively, I think we need to be a little bit more aggressive. It's like because everybody keeps talking about, they can't cover. Well, if you don't have them covered for that long because you're sitting in heat, then they can cover, and the quarterback's going to throw Aaron. But if you let the quarterback stand back there and think and pat the ball, pick it up and dust it off and throw it, we're going to get torched.
Jay Cross says, check your stats.
What?
Dallas hasn't lost three in a row.
They lost four total, though, didn't they, Dick Cheney?
Yeah, but you said in a row. You're the one that said it.
Sorry, they didn't lose three in a row. Sorry about that. They lost three scattered all over. Lost to fucking Arizona. You know what? It's okay. I got this. Thanks to the people from London for giving me this tender bottle of scotch. But actually, it's almost gone due to the play of the birds over the last 3 weeks.
I want to give a big shout out to Philly Sports Trips. If you're trying to book a trip. It's coming down to the very end. There's a tailgate for the New York Giants away game. Philly Sports Trips will not be doing a tailgate Christmas game or New Year's. But we are also not doing a tailgate. I know for the Christmas game. We're going to be with family, so I know people have been asking about
be at the game, on though, Christmas Day. At Santa Tank, though.
Okay.
I'll be at the game at Santa Tank, dressed up in Santa Claus and stuff, giving out the Christmas cheer to everybody. And hopefully that so let's all bow our heads and pray that the Eagles give us a victory on Christmas Day. Amen. Hey, y'all got to say amen, too.
Amen, amen, amen.
Prime?
Amen, I said
amen. Gil?
Amen. Okay, okay. Amen.
Thank you. Jeez, man.
Moving on to the Giants. I know the Giants have been a terrible season for them. We know what they have been putting up. The record has been abysmal. They had a lot of Darren Waller was going to change the world for them. But at the end of the day, you know, they lose Danny Dimes. And
really? Hold on. Yeah, Danny Dimes, really? They fucked up when they didn't pay Saquon Barkley. And when they didn't pay him, he was not at they call OTAs, organized team activities. And a lot of times people don't realize how that builds continuity with the team. It's like, because you're running plays and stuff with the team. And it's like, the best way to describe it is, at the end of the season, you don't do stuff, you don't do shit. You try to go and you try to let your body heal and you try to work your body up to get back. So the OTAs is organized teams activity. So that's the only time that the teams are together. But if you're in contract dispute, you're not with the team. The one thing I feel like they messed up on was not paying him, because he wasn't with the team. That's why he had that early on injury and stuff, and it was just jacked up. Paying Danny Dimes what you paid him, that I don't even know what the fuck he was thinking. But Jake, get out of it. What Hollywood, give it to me.
I'm trying to get us back on the tracks here, because that was nothing about what Gail was talking about. He was talking about the fact that Danny Dimes, their starting quarterback, is injured and we're going to be facing a backup quarterback. Is that correct, Gail?
That is correct.
It's the fourth string, but continue.
But at the end of the day, we know what their offense is built. It's built on
Saquon,
and they have a bunch of Jags at wide receiver. Their leading receiver, Darius Slayton.
Yeah, Slayton. Yeah.
So,
I thought it was Hodgins. I like their receivers are so bad. I don't even know who their wide receiver.
And
it's kind of funny though. You say that it's like we can think that they're bad, but it's like every once in a while they. You know that it's like, remember the sunshine on a dog's ass, and somebody who we don't think is going to like kick our ass is like, motherfucker. It's like, how far do y'all go back with Jim Johnson?
What do you mean? How far do I go back?
Okay, so we played a game one time against we played a game one time, and their start Edgar and James was hurt against the Indianapolis Colts. And they brought up a guy who we had never heard of before. And he kicked our ass to perfection.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I we're going up against a backup quarterback in this week in Tommy DeVito. And I want to feel confidence in it. But the fact of the matter is that we've lost to multiple backup quarterbacks this year. We've lost to Zach Wilson. We've lost to Drew Lock. The last game, these are games that we should not be losing. These should be gimme games. We at the beginning of the year, we were touting ourselves as the best roster in the NFL. We were the best team. We were on a roll. We had the best record, and now we're coughing games up to nobodies, man.
Sorry, Gil. Continue.
You were saying?
Sorry. Sorry, sir.
Now let's look at the offensive line. This offensive line unit has been you've seen some of these guys before. Tyree Phillips was on our practice squad. Yep. We have Ben Bredesen, John Michael Schmitz, their second round pick, but
and straight from the couch, Justin Pugh.
And then Andrew Thomas, who's gotten lit up by Josh Sweat. So I feel like overall, this is the weaknesses right here. Their offensive line, we should be able to get some sacks.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is that at least like the Jalen Carter, these guys, they're getting penetration, but
right. do we purchase some sacks because we can't get them on our team?
Somebody just said it in our comments. It's like, we can't sleep on nobody. We need to play good, clean football 100%. And get back to basics. I said that last week, and somebody was like, get back to basics. It's like, well, it's like at a certain point, when you get your ass handed to you on a weekly basis, and it's more than 1 week, it's more than 2 weeks in a row, you have to get back to what got you to where you are. That you got to work from your stance to your blow delivery, pause, to your tackling. It's like you had to work on all that stuff, and then your pursuit angles. It's like, yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not confident in some of our pursuit angles because we'd be fucking up at times. Like the way this last game went, even though we had a decent game defensively, and we probably hit most of the defensive goals is to give up 17 points or less. It's like, but we gave up too many big plays. It's like you're only supposed to give up. You're supposed to give up less than two big pass plays and two big run plays. They were running the ball. They ran that one drive. I know y'all was pissed at the defense where they just ran the ball completely every time. The first touchdown drive that they got, I was totally fucking pissed. So,
predictions for next week.
Prime.
I was just waiting for Gail's permission. Predictions for next week? I don't know, bro. I mean, like, it's crazy because I've been asked that today. How do I feel about the Giants? I don't know, man. I don't know even where to go. I mean, you get all excited and you kind of hope for the turnaround, and they find a way to just go ahead and damper the whole situation. I'm scared, man. I'm scared to. I told you that. No, I think no. It was too shady. I'm
scared to the dog.
Nah, bro. I think it was two shows ago, I started talking about the Giants, and you came at me and was like, "Yo, we still got to worry about Seattle," and I really wasn't worried about Seattle. And look, again, I stick to what I say. We got two more against these clowns, and it's just like shit. I mean, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, man, I'm with my squad, and I'm not gonna go ahead and throw the white flag, but it's on them to get their priorities straight, man. They got to go back to playing like, you know, it is. They need to get back to the basics, and they need to make better decisions.
Yeah.
Eagles go out there and embarrass us in front of the hose again.
Oh, that's shit.
I'm not looking forward to seeing this.
No. prediction from me. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that we play down to our competition, and that's what we've been doing the entire year. I think we win the game, but I think it's a close one. I think that we're going to be sitting here talking post-game about the fact that it shouldn't have been that close. DeVito shouldn't have been, you know, in an opportunity to potentially win it on the last drive of the game. I'm going to go 20-17, Eagles.
Motherfuckers. So, you know, Santa Slay is not going to go if we don't all believe. I believe my guys are going to do it this week, and it's going to be close, and it's going to be close mainly because you have a young team coming in here, and they're trying, and it's one of those things where Brian Daboll is in his second year of coaching, and a lot of guys are fighting for a job for next season, so you're going to get their best early on. I was like, but it's up to us because we have bigger and greater things to handle, to impose our will. And I feel like given the transgressions over the past few weeks, I feel like we're gonna have a lot of business. I had us winning 24-14, mainly because I feel like like you guys said, it's like sometimes we play down to our competition, but it's like this is gonna be one of those games where I think that the team is gonna play a collective game together. And really, just, you know, just like fight through it, and get that first bit of a bit of victory. Get back on a winning track, you know, and start building the confidence.
I'm gonna go with 27-20. I think the Eagles get back on track. I think it's a get back to basics. I think if they don't start getting back to we're just talking about, you know, fundamentals, not turning the ball over. Jalen's got the most he's got a lot of turnovers, man. At the end of the day, if you do turn over the ball, like you have been doing in the last couple weeks, you can catch an L. This is an NFC East matchup. I know it's the Giants, but I'm feeling better about this one.
Well, at least I don't have to take a 6-hour flight. Did I say that out loud? Deepest apologies.
I mean, you want to go through who you think the offensive and defensive MVPs of this game are going to be?
How about we just let this one sackle?
Offensively, I think it's going to have to be dude, I need Jalen Hurts to give me a game, man. I need Jalen Hurts to show me that the wheels aren't completely off and get me back on board. It's been a weird season with him, man. You look at videos from the previous season, and he's lost a step as far as speed is concerned.
Yeah, and knee injury, though.
Regardless, he's simply not as fast as he was last year. The excuse could be whatever you want it to be. Saying that ultimately, when he's out there, he's slower than he was last year. Mm-hmm. He's regressed as a passer. I'm not sure if it's the passing the game plan, or if it is simply him just making the wrong decisions, or a mixture of both. But I need Jalen to show me that he's still Jalen, man.
Prime, who you need to be the MVP, Prime?
Brian Johnson. I need him to be the MVP, man. I need him to make the bets, the better play calling. I need him to wake the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we look great on paper. We have the talent on that team, and we talked about that since the very beginning of this season. And he's not giving these guys the opportunity or showing it. I could get two shits about Penny not being used. My thing is like, shit, even before him, Boston Scott, where is he at? I mean, the dude's a stud, and we haven't seen him on the field. What's going on there? You know, I would love to know what's happening. Like, I know we're not the ones in the locker room. We're not the ones making these decisions, but like, is none of this shit is just not making sense. Yeah. And I got a lot of people that have been DMing me this week. Like, we got to find a way for all this to make sense. And I don't have no answers for nobody. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And it's getting frustrating, man. Like, it really is. I'm tired. I'm tired of these L's. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of these expectations. And then to be given this type of outcome. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I think Brian Johnson really needs to step his game up. And I know we've been asking this for weeks, but this is it, man. This is where I think I'm going to draw the line. And I'm going to tell him, like, yo, you get your shit together, man. Whatever playbooks you've been using for the past 3 weeks, throw them the fuck out. And, you know, the Tecmo Bowl plays ain't working no more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the DeAndre Swift. As you can see, Giants have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Rushing yards allowed per game, 131.6. Rushing yards allowed per attempt, 4.7, which is 30th. Rushes of 10-plus yards allowed, 49, which is 32nd. Rushing first downs allowed, 106. Rushing TDs allowed is 19, which is 29th. Can we get more Swift? Please.
Bro,
maybe Penny. Maybe Penny.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part about it is you want him to be the player of the game, and you're saying he's going to be the player of the game. I think he's had more than enough opportunities to be the player of the games on a lot of these games, and it starts out that way.
Yeah,
and it never finishes. So,
his cutting ability, like it's
dude on that dude on one of those plays they had him caught in the backfield, and he gave him what I like to call the midday matinee show. And got like 5 or 6 yards. And I think Prime is right in this sense, because Swift is not going to be the offensive MVP unless Brian Johnson gets his shit together. And Brian Johnson needs to be the offensive MVP, mainly because I don't want to see another screen into the fucking boundary. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see another tight end screen with a Slim Reaper out there blocking a big ass DB. Mm-hmm. He's totally right, because it's like if he don't get his shit together and our offense has no identity, man. We had an identity last year. We was an ass kicking machine. we don't have an identity now, and that's what we need to build. Our offense needs to get back to that identity. We have the offensive line, and we have the offensive line to do it. And if we run the ball, those pass, all you have to do in an NFL game is throw the ball 25 to 30 times to get the victory. Anything is like it's like we just saw the Buffalo Bills throw the ball only 15 times. If you whooping the other team's ass, you don't have to throw the ball. You throw the ball so you can get your receivers, so you can make your receivers happy.
Are we in the trust tree right now?
Sure.
If I could be completely honest with you guys, the disjointedness and how guys are speaking out in this locker room right now, I don't know where your guys' heads stand.
Yeah.
I'm tampering my expectations for these playoffs. I'm just kind of throw it out there.
It's kind of funny you said that too, because as the parts where anonymous source, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's
reeking of early playoff exit.
I feel like we're gonna win. I feel like we're gonna at least win that first game. But you're right in the dissension in the ranks. It's like, I don't know what bitch went to Derek Gunn and told and said, anonymous, yeah, put your name on it.
Man, we got the head coach worrying about tweets. We've got players worrying about tweets.
The head coach is like, the head coach is competitive. I love his competitive nature. And it's like the part that he puts his name on everything he says. The part that you're talking about, that's the shit that breaks up teams.
Mm-hmm.
The anonymous comments. Mm-hmm. And those are the motherfuckers that you have to get rid of, because those are the motherfuckers that want to play but can't play. It's either one or two things why they can't get on the field, because they don't know their shit, or they know their shit but they're not good enough to do what it takes to be on top. So in my experience looking at people in general, in that aspect. Why won't you put your name on it? Well, if you're not gonna put your name on it, don't even say it. And because you're not, that means you're not with us. You're not fully with us. That's what I'm telling y'all about the sleigh. The sleigh is not gonna fucking move if we don't all get together and handle our business. We all have to pray that Brian Johnson will call a quality game. We have to pray that our defense is going to step up in the time of need. We have to pray.
This is the point that we've gotten to, is that we've turned to religion in order to turn this Eagles team around.
Yes, sorry, deepest apologies. This is my second show in less than 2 hours. So.
My thing is, we're a 10-4 we're a 10-4 football team.
Yeah,
we're treating them. I'm not going to say we, but the fan base in general is treating them like they're. Like a 3-7 football team or some 3-7 do the math.
That's what they look like. I mean, the record tells us 10-4, but I got to be honest with you, as an Eagles fan, as a guy that roots for this team year in and year out, has seen good years, has seen bad years, this is the most aggravating 10-4 year I've ever seen.
Thank you. It is.
So what did you think about, I saw your tweet today, Evan, about, I guess, talking to him, if I put out like a, well, they went to the stadium and had some signs out there. What were your feelings about that?
My honest opinion was I wouldn't be out there giving a standing ovation personally, but the outcry that was existing online about people that were just beside themselves, so pissed that there would be people out there supporting the team, I thought was weird. Because I mean, where was that kind of response when the dude was standing out there with the trash cans with Bradberry and Slay? I get that, you know, Bradberry hasn't been playing up to par, but like, I don't know, man. I think it's pretty weird that people find it offensive to support. Like, ultimately, we're a 10-4 team. Yeah. I'm sitting here down in the dumps right now because we're coming off of a rough 3-game stretch. But ultimately, we are still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We do ultimately still have an opportunity at the 1 seed right now. And there's people out here that are getting mad at other Eagles fans for supporting them. That's just strange to me.
Yeah, and the funny part is the trash can things. I feel, you remember when I said some people get disrespectful. Mm-hmm. That was disrespectful.
That was disrespectful. Yeah. Exactly.
That's like, it's kind of like this. It's like sometimes people try to tell you how to do your job, And so people get mad at me. It's like, do I come and slap the broom out of your hand while you at work? It's like, but then it's like, oh. I was like, well, but you just trying to tell me how to do my job. I was like,
there's a way to do it.
Yeah, thank you. And that's all I'm getting at. It's like when you, it's like everybody else has gotten coffee and stuff because they had signs, constructive criticism, mm-hmm. run the ball. And if you have constructive criticism, something that's trying to help, putting the trash can out there,
you're just trying to go viral.
Yeah, and you look like a fucking idiot. I hate, you know what? It's like, I just hate when people disrespect other people like that. The constructive criticism part, you should have been like, you should have put something up like, I didn't even ask you guys that. What do you guys think of the video of a Big Play Slay talking about leading the team in tackles and talking about Seth and them didn't know how to tackle. They taught y'all how to tackle the wrong way.
It's a lack of leadership, man.
it was dumb on both ends. Yeah. Seth Jr. and him, like it was just uncalled for. Like they each had their and entitled to their opinion, but mm-hmm. He said what he said. Squash, leave it alone, move on. But
yeah, oh, I thought it was Seth didn't say do anything wrong or say anything wrong to me because he was just critiquing the game and he was saying what he saw, but then when my mechanic, because I love Slay, so it's so hard to say. You don't sit down and write and put a video up about talking about being you led the team in tackles, and then you say that you're only 180 pounds, and you know you was doing the best as you can, and your body on the line type stuff, because you're contradicting yourself. You led the team in tackles. No, it's like you were making business decisions, and it's cool. I was like, but don't. It's like when somebody's critiquing the tackling, don't be talking about you led the team in tackles.
And man, like, I think Slay is. I don't think that we would be in the position we are in as a team right now without Slay. I think he's easily
our
best cornerback. But ultimately, you're a captain, man, and that's not how a captain acts. So
thank you. That was another part too. I was like, I wanted to hear you guys like as a. As a captain, I was on the executive committee with Andy and them, blah blah blah. If you when you given that type of responsibility, you have to set examples for everybody else. Are you bickering with the media? No. You're supposed to be bigger than that.
I'm gonna go. I just feel like the leaders in the locker room need to step up. I feel like it's got a look in the mirror moment. I feel like it goes back to Sirianni too. He's listened to the media as well. I think they all need to get together and handle everything in house.
We need a players only meeting. I don't know if that's happened yet.
You know, I'm sure it has. But I feel like
not yet. It hasn't happened, but it's supposed to happen.
I'm sure they've had some kind of meetings.
No, they're supposed to have it so pretty soon though. I was privy to be over there because I met up with Nick, with Slick Nick the Ruler. I told him about his speech about planting the seed and letting the flower grow and blossom. You know, him fertilizing it and stuff. And
yeah, there's permafrost in the garden right now.
Yeah, but I didn't say that. But you know, it's going over there. I can see that they were upbeat and stuff. And I think we're gonna see not a different team, but it's gonna be better than what we've seen in the past 3 weeks.
So let's see. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips for holding down. Make sure you guys book a trip.
You're welcome.
If you want to follow them on social, Sports Trips PHL, Philly_sports_trips on IG. Show them some love. Shout out to Bud Light and Red Bull for holding down the tailgates and Concha Hawk and Tomato Pies for, Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery for the beautiful tomato pies. But last word before we get out of here, we'll go with you, Tank.
So I kind of stuck my foot in my mouth, huh? So You know what? Thanks for having me again this week. Appreciate you guys. Good seeing you, Hollywood. I didn't see you on the trip and shit.
I know. I missed you guys.
We had a good time. We need to get out the snide. And this next game should be a slump buster. And there's no other way to look at it other than a slump buster, so we don't limp it to the playoff. I'm tired of listening to the fuck sticks talking shit about our squad, talking shit about our fans. But you know, we gotta go out and handle our business, and I think that all of us know that, and we see the little bit of deficiencies we've rectified a little bit on defense. What should be rectified, but should have happened longer. It should have happened at the beginning. So I'm real interested to see with Matt Patricia having a full week to plan for this team and not just get it given to him in midweek. So it'll be interesting to me. It's going to be interesting to see defensively what we put up. So fly Eagles fly. I love you guys. Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, and all that stuff. And I will be, we'll be going around the tailgating area, dressed as Santa Tank. You can tell me what you want. I may get it. I may not. But who knows? I will be at that game. So I'm interested to see what transpires and how our team reacts from it.
This has been a negative sounding show, as it should be. We're coming off of a 3-game snide right now. But if there's any positivity in it, if I could find a silver lining, I want to give kudos to the Eagles for getting the job done in the first half of the year. We're in a position right now where, because we went 10-1 through the first 11 games, we're still sitting here at 10-4. We're still sitting here after this awful, awful stretch in the back half of November, early part of December, where we could still win the entire NFC, let alone our own division. So kudos to them for handling business at the beginning of the year. We still got a shot, man. Just got to get it done. Got to get back on track. And if these Eagles start to, do exactly like Tank said and just beat up on the bad teams, get that confidence up, who knows? Could be a different type of vibe in the playoffs. But as we are right now, it's pretty bleak. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bah, humbug. Okay.
What about you, Prom?
Listen, there ain't really much more to say after, Hollis and Evan. It's the truth. We got to get right. This is the game to get right. We have no choice. We got to finish off strong. We still have the opportunity to get this number one seed, but we got to, it all depends on how well this team can come together and finish out. I still got hope. I'm frustrated. I'm one of those fans that are frustrated. Shit, if we got to have an OnlyFans meeting, I'm down, man.
OnlyFans meeting?
So after I said it, my bad.
I threw up in my mouth.
John OnlyFans.
You knew what I meant.
Right
now, these last 3 weeks have had us all, shit, even amongst ourselves, like frustrated. Like,
fucked up, man.
It's got us like really, really tight, man. And I don't know, man. I know I went into work the next day, and the first question that was asked to me, I almost snapped. Like, I just snapped. Like, I'm tired. I'm tired of these guys having me feel this way. I go the whole week feeling confident, and then they just kill everything by the way they're playing. Jay, I saw your comment. That trick play on the punt was nice to see, but you talk about why can't we do other trick plays, bro? We can't even do a regular play on the offense.
So I know, good God.
Before we start trick plays, we got to get right on the regular offensive plays. But I'm all for it. I'm all for anything new, and I think we have to pretty much dig deep in the bag this week and come up with something, because what we've been doing is just not working anymore. If the league has found a way to go ahead and figure us out, like a lot of people have been saying, we're in trouble. we're in serious trouble. But you know, I mean, that's done and over with. It's behind us. Let's move on to the next game. Let's get this W. Let's get back on the winning track. Wish all of y'all a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, man. Y'all be safe. Safe travels, you know what I mean? Enjoy yourselves with the family. Looking forward to the kids opening up the gifts and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? That's definitely something I'm looking forward to this weekend. I would love to say I'm looking forward to the game, but I'll be sitting.
At least part of your day will be positive, man.
Yeah, yeah. At least I'm just sitting here being honest with you guys. I'm just going to go ahead and wing it. You know what I mean? Like Evan was saying, let's wing it, and that's what I'm doing. I'm winging it.
Gail, quickly get your word in before he gets back.
Yeah, last word. I just want to give a big shout out to all the fans I met on the road out in Seattle, all the people that support the podcast and what we do. Got people that have been to our tailgate from all over the country. I run into y'all city to city. It's always a great experience. Shout out to you and your families. Hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas. Eagles, you know, you could write the ship by making Christmas a really great day. I believe that you will. I think Eagles will get back in stride against some low level teams. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Eagle fans, you have to support the squad. You have to support this team. Record aside, if you're an Eagles fan, be an Eagles fan. I'm not going to tell you how to do what you do, but I'm just saying at the end of the day, support your football team. But you know, it's always fly, Eagles fly, and I'll see you in the next one.